I'd like now to welcome Beth Serta. She is a visual storyteller, and she was coming here today to talk about the glory that is public radio, but now we don't have to because the fun drive is over.
Well, I'm happy to be here anyhow, Mary Charlotte, but there is the glory of public radio, and not to sound like I'm sucking up to you, but the glory of Mary Charlotte, who tells me, folks, that she is shameless.
What? I didn't say that.
Yes, you did. You did. You did. What we were talking about was I was saying to Mary Charlotte, since I am also a radio person, that I totally appreciate the fact that she does her homework. You know, when you listen to Terry Gross, who's wonderful, or Susan Stamberg, they have this whole crew of people that do all the research for them. So, and then present it to them. Well, Mary Charlotte's research team, I believe, is Milk Honey and a dachshund.
Yeah.
So she's got these three little pooches.
And we know a great deal about bones and where they're buried.
Yes. Well, and that brings up other ideas, too. Where are the bones buried? What are the stories that
yes,
are buried?
Yes, which we're going to get into in just a moment.
We are. But what I wanted to say before we get into that is that if you listen to Mary Charlotte regularly, you will notice that, especially when she's talking to somebody who is a scientist, a doctor, a researcher, a politician, and they've written a book, she'll ask this really prescient question, and they'll say, nobody's ever asked me that before. And that's what I appreciate about Mary Charlotte, is that she does her homework, and she comes at it from a different perspective. So I'm not supposed to be asking you to give money to her show, but give money to her show.
That's right. You can go to the website and hit pledge now. You can go to ksfr.org and hit pledge now, and you can still contribute. No, I thank you for your very kind words, Beth. I appreciate it. And also thank you to all the different people who donated during the fund drive and who understand the value of public radio. You know, we do it twice a year. We have to do it twice a year, and we are so grateful to the people who make it happen and then let it be over so that we can just do our regular programming for the next 6 months. Apropos of which, I want to talk to you and let people know about a workshop that you are going to be teaching called Telling Our Grandmother's Tales Without the Schmaltz, Baba Mises and Cuentas de Abuela.
Well, what I'm inviting people to do is come tell the stories about their grandmothers. Now, when I say without the schmaltz, I mean, I'm not looking for the Hallmark moment, the, oh, my Yiddish mama, she was so perfect, she was so sweet, she was so old, because let's face it, folks, we're going to get there.
Well, and there is a genre which I have often thought of as, well, it would be in my case, my grandmother's meatballs. You know, people write a, you know, they go to the workshop and they write a story and they say, I remember when I went to my grandmother's house and she made great meatballs and I'd like to make the meatballs, but she died before I got the recipe. And they're not real, they don't get to the, no pun intended, meat of things. There's something missing, and we have that here in New Mexico with stories of our great, I've read a lot of them, and there's something missing. How do you get past the kind of, I think it's a combination of nostalgia and cliche.
Well, for one thing, for a lot of cultures, we are taught with good reason to honor our grandparents. But honoring our grandparents doesn't mean we should marginalize them and put them in some tiny perfect box, because they are human. And the stories that can come out are really wonderful. Let's face it. Every family is dysfunctional. So let's put the fun back in dysfunctional and tell the stories. I invite people often to come tell it in group form. And it may start out with the meatball chili stories. But once people find out that there were things that happened in their family that happened in other families, and in a group situation, what also comes out is people are very kind to each other. And they're very supportive of each other. And now, it's true. I mean, some families, people aren't talking to each other. And that's kind of an embarrassment until you find out that in almost every family, somebody's not talking to each other. And as to why, sometimes it's been going on for so long, they can't even remember why.
Right. Or it's the Hatfields and the McCoys.
Right. I have that in my family. Something happened between my father, my mother, his brother, and his brother's girlfriend way before I was born, where nobody was talking to each other. And then the kids didn't talk to each other because we were honoring our parents. My grandmothers were very interesting people. And one grandmother in particular would tell stories that changed history. And that's the other thing that happens, is the story that I tell about my grandmother may not be the story that my mother or father remembered.
When you say change history, you don't mean the fate of nations. You mean like they revise their own history.
My grandmother had the 6 million Jews marching down the Ho Chi Minh Trail. I don't know how she got them there.
We're talking to Beth Cernette, just so you know.
This is, and I loved my grandmother. We lived with her for the first 10 years of my life. When I was 5, she showed me my first Playboy magazine. She wasn't showing me the naked lady. She was showing me can-can costumes. My mother walked in and was horrified, absolutely horrified. And then my grandmother smoked 4 packs of unfiltered Lucky Strikes a day. So she had a stroke when she was 68. When she was 80, she called me from the nursing home and asked me if I had ever considered posing for Playboy magazine. Now, is this your grandmother's story? And by the way, you have to come to the workshop to find out the details.
I want to know the details.
Come to the workshop.
So why is it grandmothers and not grandfathers?
Well, grandfathers, absolutely. It seems that a lot of people have more grandmother stories simply because of the times when their grandmothers didn't work, their grandmothers were at home, maybe their grandmothers still lived with them. My grandfather and grandmother were actually divorced and nobody told me. So I saw my grandfather every Friday night for Shabbat dinner when I was a kid, and nobody mentioned that he had run off with another woman.
So he would show up and do the theater of that they were still together?
Well, he didn't pretend they were together. It's just that nobody told me they were apart. My mother said, he's a salesman. He travels. That's why you only see him on Friday nights. And I was so little, I bought it.
Very interesting. So tell us some other kinds of stories of when you do these workshops, stories that come out that don't happen in the first round, where they're just talking about the food that they ate or whatever.
The stories, actually, what? Here's some of the stories that do come out in the first round. We're a country that is mostly made up of people that came from other places. And so depending on your generation, either your parents or your grandparents have what I consider to be heroic stories about coming from another country, because often they came because they were running from something bad. And I can go online and I can look at the ship's manifest of the names of my grandfather and his mother and his siblings and how much money they had with them.
Heavens.
When they came over on the boat. They had $10 amongst them.
And so, and you know the name of the boat on which they came?
Yes. Yes. Anybody who came through Ellis Island, you can check.
Right.
And to me, that's an amazement. And my grandfather was only 5 when he came over, so he actually isn't the one that had the story to tell. All sorts of stories come out. And it just depends on the comfort zone. Somebody was telling me a story the other day about having to put her mother into a nursing home. It was time. Her mother had Alzheimer's. And the woman who's telling the story was a beloved only child, as I am. And she put her mother in the nursing home and things didn't go smoothly. And her mother, within a day, said to her in a moment of clarity, "I never thought you'd do this to me." And I'm sitting at this woman's kitchen table, and the two of us are crying. I didn't have to do that with my mother. My mother died when she was 60. My father is still, you know, healthy and kicking and on his own. But you don't have to go through the experience, but you can picture the experience. And maybe that's not something that somebody's going to tell you right off, because, again, there's a certain amount of guilt. Nobody wants to put their parent in a nursing home. But that's what we do nowadays. We don't keep our elderly at home. We don't live in that same way of a compound. You're going to Indonesia in June, and you will see compounds of people where the blind grandmother is living in her own little house in the family compound.
Right.
And my driver brought me over. He wanted to show me his, quote, pork, meaning his pig. He was very proud of his pork. So we went to visit his pig. And his blind grandmother is feeling her way along the compound wall, with cataracts, by the way, something that could be easily fixed here,
right,
but is too expensive to do there.
We're talking to Beth Serdut. She is going to be teaching a 3-session workshop called Bubba Mises and Cuentas de Abuela, Telling Our Grandmother's Tales Without the Schmaltz. And so you bring a Jewish heritage to this. People bring all their different heritages to this. And, of course, some people are American going way back. You know, maybe their great-great-great-great whatever number of great-grandparents came over on the Mayflower or something like that.
Or preceded the Mayflower.
Or you have Native American people.
You have Native American people. You have people of Spanish descent who can trace their history back hundreds of years. When I lived in Hawaii and I was doing an article about the Native American Graves Repatriation Act, I would talk to Hawaiians who could chant their history back to King Kamehameha. And they said to me, if you don't know that, how do you know who you are?
Amazing. And the chanting, that's one of those things, stories are held in actual songs and poems.
Yes. And as I think about workshops and what I call prompts, you know, how do you get the... Often if you say to somebody, so tell me a story, they go blank, even though a lot of people love to tell stories. They love to gossip. They love to say, did you know that? Well, when you put them on the spot, suddenly they can't remember anything.
So you hear about Anne?
Yes. So I wrote a little piece thinking about prompts. I say, I am a story catcher, inviting you to tell me the tales of your grandparents, of recipes, of cooking, of the horno, of growing, tending, harvesting, butchering, of water rights and wrongs, healing by herbs, by doctors, by la curandera, even by la bruja, of how your grandfather maybe never came home from a war or another woman, or by some miracle he did, of hope, despair, of ghosts, or a recipe that makes your tongue tingle when you think about it, of how your uncle went a little crazy, or your aunt saw visions of work and play, of how this city changed, the land remained. Tell me your stories, old ones, little ones, for in remembering our past, we see our future.
When you're reading that, one of the things that comes to mind is the reality that what most of us are interested in is love and sexuality, and those are things that we never really talk about in terms of our grandparents. When I think of one of my grandparents, she was very unhappily married, and there's a whole big story there, and the details of that are things that we sort of shy away from, even in conversation, much less storytelling or writing.
Well, you know, we are sensual beings, and certainly as children, we never imagine that our parents had sex, except maybe the number of times we have the number of kids in a family.
Right.
I have a friend who comes from a very strict Catholic
family.
And
that's not true all over the world.
No, it is... certainly a very American thing. And depending where you grew up, I mean, you and I grew up in New England, where I'm not even sure how people made it with all that plaid and polar fleece. But depending on your culture, you will talk about it. And
I think it was wool back in the day.
It was wool back in the day. Now it's polar fleece. And many, many layers to get through.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. Well, maybe we shouldn't go down that path on the radio.
That's the thing. We don't go down that path because there's all sorts of cultural taboos against it. But when you read a really good novel or even a really good memoir, it's all there.
Well, you and I were talking about magical realism earlier and how maybe it is just realism. But we dress it up in a certain way in a fairy tale or in a romantic book or in a, quote, bodice ripper romance, where there is real romance in the world and there is real juice in the world. I mean, this life is juicy, and we can talk about that, and it doesn't have to be prurient, but...
And it doesn't have to be disrespectful.
No, and it doesn't. And we also, you know, many of us come from cultures that say, honor your parents, honor your grandparents. Well... talking about who they are as real people is a way of honoring them.
So when people take a workshop like this, and it's 3 sessions, so I guess things get to sort of percolate you know, between the first and second and so on. What do you then do with the stories when they're done? Do you have a performance? Do you put together a little book?
Well, what we're going to do in this particular group is there's three sessions. They're on Thursday nights from 6 to 8, starting April 30th. And I'm doing this at Congregation Bet Tikva on Old Pecos Trail. Best thing to do is probably just call me at 978-793-1062. Yes, it's a Massachusetts number. It's a cell phone.
It's a cell phone.
So what we're going to do for the first session is people come and tell their stories. If you can write them down first, great. But if not, just come tell me the story. I'm a fan of telling a short story, which frankly for my culture is almost impossible. But, you know, I do commentaries for radio, and you can tell an awful lot in 3 minutes, 3.5 minutes. 4 minutes is an eternity.
Not on this show.
Right. This is a luxury. An absolute. Well, you told me I had 5 to 7 minutes, and then we were going to do fundraising. So, by the way, Mary Charlotte always prepares. The 2 times I've been on the show, no preparation. We're just winging it here, folks.
That's not true. we're going to give her number again at the end of the show if people are interested.
Okay, but what I would like to say about the three sessions is the first session, you come tell your story. And you may find that the story you came with is not the story you leave with, because you hear other people's stories and it sparks a memory. The second time, you're going to bring me the honed story. We'll get some feedback. We'll work on it some more. The third time, you're going to tell the story. And on the third session, invite your friends, your family. But be warned, everybody in the family is going to have a different take on the story.
And so this is what happens at the workshop. How do people get I mean, I would imagine that at least sometimes there's a kind of transformation that happens for people having not only told but really honed the story.
Often people, first of all, have buried their lead way down in the story. The last workshop I did was called Critter Tales, Yours, Mine, and Ours.
Right.
And I did it at the O'Keeffe. I was hoping people would bring wild animal stories. What I got was a lot of dog stories, which, of course, you would have loved. One kitty story, and there was one quasi-raccoon story. The first story was all about the dog, and it was more, this is how I trained my dog, because this guy was a dog trainer. What I found out was when the dog got off the plane, he was overweight, he was goofy-looking, and the dog was transformed. But I didn't find that out until we were into like the third tale. As people told their stories, they became more and more personal. And they talked about why they ended up in Santa Fe. Some of it had to do with having cancer, getting a dog because they needed, or cat because they needed the company. One woman brought her cat to all her cancer treatments with her.
Wow.
And some of that meant flying back to Philly, and she brought the kitty with her. So it evolves.
Beth Serdut is a visual storyteller. Her workshop is called Bubba Mises and Cuentas de Abuela, Telling Our Grandmother's Stories Without the Schmaltz. You can reach her at the telephone number 978-793-1062. And you can also write to her at info@bethserdut.com. And that's Beth, SURDUT.com. Thanks so much for being with us. Oh, by the way, the event is Thursdays, starting on April 30th. April 30th, May 7th, and May 14th from 6 to 8 at Bet Tikva. So, thanks. Great to have you on the air again.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. KSFR streams live on the web at ksfr.org. You can email me at radiocafe@ksfr.org or leave a message at 428-1528. And, for example, if you didn't get all the information about Beth today, you can write to me. Thanks to Marilyn LeBlanc for engineering today. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. And after that, the Jazz Experience. Broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company, I want once again to thank everybody who contributed during the fun drive. We love you all. And for those who still want to contribute, just go straight to the website, ksfr.org. Every penny counts. We thank you so much. Hasta la vista. Ciao.